In God my glory placed is, and my salvation sure. In God the rock is all my strength, my refuge most secure. Ye people, place your confidence in Him continually. Before Him pour ye out your heart. God is a refuge high.
Like to have a copy of God's Word. It is offered to you quite freely once again here in Nottingham City this afternoon. The Word of God, which is pure and powerful, and of course has the ability to convert, as it says, the simple. You know, those who are in want of God's salvation, a refuge, a fortress, a rock, a shield, a defender, for all those who put their trust in Him through Jesus Christ, His Son, the revealed Savior, the one who came and who lived, died, rose again from the dead, that this salvation might be, well, for you. That is, if you put your trust in Him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, is the assurance of God's Word. He is a refuge and strength, very present help in the time of trouble, as the book of Psalms reveals to us. Bible speaks about the deferred anger of God. Isaiah chapter 48, should you like to check that out. The deferred anger of God, the Bible speaks about the forbearance of God and the long suffering of God. But simply because the anger of God is deferred doesn't mean to say that it's gone away. No, not by any means. And of course, the very reason why you stand in need of God's salvation, because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, in wickedness, that is. The anger, the wrath of God is deferred, is held back, that is, for a future day. Day of God's wrath, day of God's judgment, the day when you're taken out of this world and stand before Almighty God. That day awaits, and presently, for the moment, His anger is deferred. That is, He forbears with you. The forbearance of God is not the patience of God. The forbearance of God is the deferment of His anger towards and upon the wicked, the reprobate of this world. Those, that is, who have apostatized from God, and of course those who will face the final and ultimate wrath of God because of their sin. Goes all the way back, you see, to the beginning, to your first parents and mine, Adam and Eve. The woman tempted by the devil, by Satan, succumbed and in turn tempted her husband, who likewise succumbed and brought sin and death into the world. And they began to get children in their own likeness, their own sinful, rebellious, wicked likeness. And of course, that sin nature is passed on down through the generations, even until this time. And the reason why God's wrath, you see, His holy displeasure, that is, His anger, is upon those not reconciled to God through His redemption, through His Son Jesus Christ, those who have not and will not put their trust in Jesus Christ. His anger remains, though it be for the present deferred. Your question, sir? Did you say something? I thought you said something. Oh, did you? Hello, sir. Are you having a good day?
Yeah.
Are you believing, sir?
I don't believe in God.
You don't? Why not, sir? Bible says that you do.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it's true.
Does?
No.
Bible says it's got to be true, sir. Because the Bible is the truth.
I can't believe He created all this, mate.
Well, the thing is, sir, that God says in His Word that there is no such thing as an atheist on planet Earth. Everybody, man, woman and child, knows that God is. But you don't want there to be a God. That's a different thing altogether.
No, I don't want to be one. I just don't believe in it.
And that doesn't make it true, though.
Well, it doesn't make it true, really.
Does. Bible, sir. God's given His Word. God has revealed Himself.
How was it?
Pardon?
Who's it?
Look in the mirror. You see, a man made in the image of God. Well, was made in the image of God. Not now. You look around you, all the things that God has made,
God creates a world
leaves you with an excuse.
God creates a world that's so bad.
Man did that. That's man's doing. That's your doing, my doing. That's our doing, not God's doing. God made everything perfect in the beginning. Man rebelled. And that rebellion is in you, in me, in every one of us. But God has given you an out through His Son, Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the gospel, sir, and you shall be saved. Yeah? Saved from your rebellion. Saved from your unbelief. You see, that's the problem. That's the problem. You said yourself you don't believe. That's your problem. That's your problem.
I should believe.
Because of your unbelief, that's what keeps you from God. That's what keeps you from His salvation, and that will keep you out of heaven. That will send you to hell, sir. Unbelief is the capital. Unbelief, sir, is the capital offense. Unless you turn, unless you repent and believe the gospel, that's your end. That's your end. I urge you, look into God's Word for yourself. See, read the truth. The truth will set you free, Jesus says. Have a nice day, sir. Like I was saying, you know, our first parents, they brought the mess into the world. They brought sin and death upon us all. And of course, the mess, the chaos that you see, well, you know, we've all added to it. You've added to it. I've added to it. Every single one of us has contributed to the mess that you see the world is in today. But God is not the author of that. The devil is, Satan is, man is, used of the devil to bring about such chaos, such murder, slaughtering, uncleanness, perversion, all the things that you see in your world today that you know as well as I do we ought not to do, but we do them. Why? Because we've got those Adamic natures in us passed on to us from our first parents, from Adam. We got those rebellious natures that stand against God, biased against God, and unbelieving of God. But of course, your unbelief, your refusal to believe, of course, does not make a thing true. You say, I don't believe in God. That doesn't make the thing true. That's just the desire of your heart. That's just the wish of your heart. You don't wish there to be a God. Well, one, because you're on his wrong side, his dark side. His anger is upon and against you. Deferred, albeit, but still against you and awaiting to fall upon you, lest you repent and believe the gospel and be saved and be reconciled to God. But that nature, you see, is in you, is in me, is in every single one of us. That rebellious nature passed on to you from your first parents, and of course parents all the way down the line since Adam's sin. And that rebellious nature, of course, well, you don't want there to be a God. You won't have him to rule over you because of that rebellious, that iniquitous nature within you. But then, of course, the other thing is, you don't want there to be a God because you think that allows you to, you know, to live a sinful life and existence, not life rather, an existence in this world, in God's world, and do so with impunity. And of course, just because the anger of God is not fallen upon you fully and finally, because you're not brought immediately to judgment, well, you think you've gotten away with it. You think, well, it doesn't matter how I live. I can live as I please, you think, with impunity, as it were. I can make up my own rules. That's what governments do, your own government. That's what even churches in your land do today. Make up their own rules, you know. Make up their own religions. Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, Roman Catholicism. Just make it up as you go along. Your standard. But you're not going to be judged in that day when the deferred anger of God finally falls upon you. God will not judge you according to the dictates of your own heart, what you thought to be right, what the government thought to be right, what the Pope thought to be right, what Muhammad thought to be right. He will judge you according to his righteous standards revealed in his word. It's by this standard that you'll be judged. Because it's by this standard that God requires you to live. But of course, because you've got a carnal nature, carnal mind, you cannot be subject to the law of God. This is an impossibility. Again, because of the sin nature passed on to you by rebellious, iniquitous parents. You can't get a clean thing out of an unclean. That's impossible. You can't get clean children out of unclean parents. That too is impossible. You get children in your own likeness. Your own sinful, rebellious likeness, that is, upon whom is the wrath of God also. The deferred wrath of God, albeit, but there nonetheless. So you see, the nature must be changed. There has to be a transformation of, dare I say, cataclysmic proportions. There has to be a miraculous change, and only God can do that which is miraculous. That's not in your power to do. Perhaps maybe in some shape or form to change your life habits, maybe now and again. Oh, you can do that. If it suits you, maybe threatens your health or something. Or you're threatened by the authorities. Perhaps maybe you could even become religious. You can do that. Anybody can do that. You don't need my help. You don't need the Bible's instructions. do not need God's help in order to become religious. You know, not at all. You can do that yourself. Just go to the synagogue, the temple, and just take your pick, anyone you like, and become religious. But that doesn't transform the nature. That doesn't cause you and make you to be subject to the law of God, the standards by which God will judge you. You can be religious. You can reform yourself to some degree and some measure. But the wrath of God is still upon you. The anger of God is deferred. Waits to fall upon you in that day, that moment when you depart this life, or that day comes, the day of God's wrath. That will be, the Bible tells us, a fearful day. So you see, friends, it's an understanding, you know, that nature, it's the nature that must be changed. It's the heart that needs to be changed. There has to be repentance, a change of mind, that is, leading to a change of practice. And joined, of course, to faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. That is the only out. But from where comes this change of nature? Well, from God Himself. Unless He smiles upon you, unless He favors you, unless He draws you, unless He blesses the preaching of the gospel to you. You see, the final punishment is deferred. It waits to fall upon you because of your sin nature. As one good bishop once said, if you're not born again, the day will come when you will wish you had never been born at all. Because that will be a fearful, fearful day. The day of God's wrath, the day of His anger. You must flee from it, run from it. You say, where to? Into the arms of Jesus, the only Savior, because He is your only out. He is the only escape route given to you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus tells us. So dear friends, please, be assured, will you please, that God is not pleased with you outside of Jesus Christ, with your natural state and condition as you were born into this world. If there has not been a change, if there has not been a radical change of your heart and nature, if you've not been born again, if there's not a time, a day, a year that you can point to and say, that was the year, that was the day, that was the time when God came to me and performed a miracle in my heart and life, transformed my nature and gave me a new nature altogether. That was the time when I stopped loving sin, living in sin, delighting in sin, reveling in sin, living for sin, living to thieve and to fornicate, and to do all kinds of other uncleanness, abominations which fill your society today. That was the day, the time when I stopped doing that, because God gave me a new nature. He gave me a new heart. He caused me, you see, to love Him, to love holiness, to love His word, to love His standards. It was then, you see, that I began to see that my standards were not good enough, and to understand that God, though His anger was deferred, that He was indeed angry with me. But now, you see, the anger of God has been turned away from me, unless there's a day when you can point to a time when you came to the cross of His Son Jesus Christ, and you received by faith Jesus Christ the Son of God, and knew and understood and experienced that change of heart, that change of nature, and that you knew, you understood that your sin was dealt with, was taken away, and God no longer angry with you. Now God, of course, for those whom He loves, those whom He has saved, He is long-suffering. That's a different thing altogether. The long-suffering of God, that comes from His love for those who are His, chosen from before the foundation of the world, born again in time, repented and believed the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. God is long-suffering towards such, but He forbears with the wicked. He forbears with the reprobate. His anger is deferred, but it hasn't gone away. Not until the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, atones for your sin. Not until the blood of Jesus Christ deals with the anger of God. There's the word in the Bible. Propitiation is the word. And of course it speaks about the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, dealing with not just the sin, but not just the rebellion, but dealing with God's wrath, taking it away, so that the man, the woman, who can point to a day, a time in their life when there's radical change happened, when God caused them to be born again, and enabled them to lay hold upon by faith on Jesus Christ and His blood spilled on the cross for sinners, and that they then understood that they were right with God, justified before God. And now they trust Him continually, all the day long, trusting in God. Is kind towards them, long-suffering, patient with them, but not with the reprobate, not with the apostate, not with the wicked and unbelieving. His anger is deferred. It's still there, but the punishment will come. Lest that is, there comes a day in your life, it's happened to others, it's happened to me, it's happened to many, many people, millions the world over, who have enjoyed the same experience. There they were in the world, just like all other men, living in sin, for sin, gratifying their sinful lusts and pleasures. And of course, totally oblivious to the fact that the deferred anger of God, the wrath of God was upon them. Oblivious to the fact that they were sinning against a holy and loving God. Oblivious to the fact until God intervened by His grace. Until God came and broke. And normally, generally speaking, through the preaching of God's Word. Maybe they heard something, you know, like, come now, saith the Lord, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Maybe that's what they heard, you know, but something, the word of God was proclaimed to them. And they came of a sudden to understand how wretched, sinful, blind, naked they were. How destitute they were of righteousness. And the Holy Spirit of God came upon them and convicted them of sin. Their own personal sin, nature and sin, practice and sin, convicted them of righteousness. The righteousness that God requires of them. And the judgment of God that was until such a time, that was just a fairy tale to them. That was just something to frighten them. But it ought to frighten you. It ought to scare you. It ought to make you tremble. It ought to make you shake in your boots, friends. Because the judgment of God. reality even now. It's all over you as a nation, as a world. The wrath of God, the Bible says, is revealed, being revealed even now, that is. It's all over your society like a rash. Listen to what you hear coming out of the mouths of men and women. The filth and blasphemy, the uncleanness and perversion. Friends, things that men and women ought not to do, but you revel in. That's the wrath of God. That's when God gives men and women over to, when they suppress the truth, when they hold the truth in unrighteousness. You say, I will not believe in God. I do not believe in God. Oh, dear friends. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. You see, friends, that wrath of God, you see, is that's it. It's what you're given over to. And given over to a reprobate mind. And some, of course, to such a place and such a state and condition that for them there is no way back to God. And the wrath of God, the anger of God is deferred, not gone away, just because you don't feel it, just because you don't believe it, doesn't mean to say it's gone away. Society, reprobate society, is being brought down. Down and down. And we'll end, I tell you, in destruction. Oh, friends, do you not? Is there a day, is there a time in your life, can you point to a time when you can say, I was born again? Not asking you, are you religious? Not asking you, do you pay lip service to some kind of a God? I'm asking you, have you been born again? By the true and living God, the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Holy Scripture of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, have you been born again by the true and living God to a living hope from the dead? Have you been born again? Do you have eternal life in your soul? Not asking you, are you religious? Not asking you, do you do the beats? Not asking you, do you do the seven stations of the cross, the five pillars of Islam? I'm asking you, have you been born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? Because unless you can point to that day, there must be a day. That day must come, and it's only God who can do it. And He does so through the proclamation of the Word of God. Foolishness, folly to the world, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, is still God's power for salvation. But all that is, all that believe, not every man, woman, and child. The Bible does not declare a universal salvation. All men will not be saved. There are goats and there are sheep. The goats go to the left, everlasting destruction. The sheep go to the right, eternal glory with God. Chosen before the foundation of the world to salvation or destruction. God chooses, not you. I chose you, Jesus said to His disciples. You did not choose me. It's not your choosing. But through the proclamation of the gospel, there is hope for men and women who hear, who God causes to hear, not just with the outward hearing of the ears, but who hear with the inward hearing of the soul, who hear the call of God and obey the call of God and come out from this wicked world, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a God to you, a Father to you, make a covenant with you. God's covenant of grace. friend, following God's word, check you out for yourself, declare it to you, that you might hear, hearken to the word of God, and hearing God's voice, obey. Repent and believe the gospel in order that you might be saved. But there's got to be life from the dead first. Dead in your trespasses and sins. Dead in your sinful nature. No thought of God, desire for God, the Word of God, the Son of God, the holiness of God, the heaven of God. No desire for any of it. What will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? Your thinking never gets beyond that. You get up in the morning, what will I fill my belly with? No thought of God. No thought of heaven. No thought that God has provided the things that you have for you, your life and being. You live like brute beasts, like irrational animals. What will I fill my belly with? What will I clothe myself with today? Your thinking never gets beyond that. But it has to be if you're going to be saved from the wrath of God, the wrath to come. His anger is deferred. Don't be thinking it's gone away. Don't be thinking like many people do as a modern society. We don't believe in that stuff anymore. Not even the churches proclaim it anymore. You can go to churches all over your city, all over your land. They won't preach the wrath of God to you. Any preacher did come preaching about the anger of God to wicked sinners, reprobate sinners. Well, he would be cast out of the place. He would be stoned to death. Nobody tells the truth like it is in Jesus anymore. In your churches, they'll dance and sing for you. Some of them will feed and clothe you, but they won't tell you the truth. They won't tell you about the deferred anger of God, the wrath of God that's to come, and coming soon, I tell you. You see, it's only the preaching of the gospel, the honest preaching of the gospel, the truthful preaching of the gospel, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, revealed in the Word of God and nowhere else. You'll find this in the Quran. You don't get this from the encyclicals of the Pope. You don't get this from man-made cultish religion. You don't get this from idolatrous religion. That's all about man, man, man. Do it, do it, do it. Religion's about doing. You can't be saved by your doing. The wrath of God cannot be removed from you by your doing. The wrath of God's deferred, but it's still upon you. No matter what you do, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Nothing you can do to change your nature. Nothing you can do to bring yourself to God. Nothing at all. God must do it. You contribute nothing to it. Absolutely nothing at all. Because you've got nothing to offer God. Nothing at all but your sin. Nothing good in you. There's none good, says God. None that doeth good. None righteous, says God. Altogether gone astray. So you see, friends, it's not down to you. It's not your doing. It's the doing of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. He did the business. He came and He was born of a woman, born under the law, paid the penalty of the law, the divine law, I mean, the law of God that you've broken, that you've trashed every day of your life, given to you. Living day by day with your fist in your Maker's face while you drink His water, eat His food, breathe His air. But the day is coming when the deferred anger of God will be deferred no longer. God forbears with you. Yeah, He allows you to carry on, to cumber His earth, to cumber his ground for a season, but when his purpose for you is over, he'll remove you from this earth scene. You will breathe your last, you'll go out of this world, and you'll stand before him. It is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. Then you stand before God, and the wrath of God is no longer deferred, but will fall upon you fully, finally, and fiercely. And so I tell you, friends, the only way by which you can be delivered, you can be saved from the deferred anger of God, is through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. But God must breathe life into your soul first. You must call, you must cry, you must seek Him with all your heart and soul, strength and mind. You must put everything into it. Your soul, your eternal destiny hangs upon it. Heaven and hell, wrath or love, what will it be? You must seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, because He will not always be to be found of you. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, that He may have mercy upon you, abundant pardon. But you see, friends, there must be life. There must be life from the dead. Dead in your trespasses and sins. What do you expect from a corpse? The corpse lying here on the pavement this afternoon, you could kick it. You can breathe on it. You can slap it. You can do all kinds of things, but you won't get no response out of it. And here you are, dead in your trespasses and sins. How can we get a response out of you? You don't even care to listen. Such is your spiritual state and condition before Almighty God. So unless He smiles upon you, unless He breathes the breath of life into you, unless He gives you the precious gift of faith, friends, the wrath of God remains upon you. The anger of God deferred but remains, hanging over you like the sword of Damocles, waiting to fall upon you at any given moment, lest God remove the sword of His justice from over you and give you life and love and liberty through His Son Jesus Christ, in the way of believing, in the way of trusting in God's Son Jesus Christ, the only Savior, presented to you in the gospel, even here today, lifted up before you, the Son of God who came, born into this world for this reason, this purpose, born to die, laid down His life. He said, no, it's no one, no other ever did. He says, I have the power to lay my life down and take it again. Exactly what He did. We have the historical record of the Word of God, the Bible. The reason why Son of God came into the world to rescue sinners, ruined sinners under the wrath of God because of their sin. But the blood, oh, the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the wonder-working blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, able to wash and make you clean, able to reconcile you to God, take His anger, deferred anger away from you, give you life from the dead. Life is in the blood. Eternal life is in the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. shed the cross for sinners such as you and such as I. The only hope, Jesus, who rose again from the dead to justify sinners. Make them right with God, that is. To justify them and to give them new life, eternal life. Living not with the fear of the coming wrath of God, but with the assurance, with the love, with the faith, knowing that God's anger has been removed from them, that He's no longer angry with you, but is long-suffering towards you, because He loves you, because He has loved you with an everlasting love. But friends, that's for those born again of God's Spirit. That's for those who have repented, gone through a change of mind. That's for those who have believed, by faith laid hold upon the person and sacrifice of God's Son. All those Old Testament sacrifices, they pointed to the one great, ultimate, final, last sacrifice, never to be repeated again. The Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world. But in time, outside Jerusalem, some 2,000 years ago, the Lamb of God, which taken away the sin of the world, has He taken away your sin? Has He taken away the anger of God from you? Has He dealt with your sin? Nothing and no one else can. Only Jesus, only the crucified and risen Jesus, no other. There was no other good enough. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let sinners like you and I in. So friends, be assured. Be assured, tremble, will you please. The displeasure of God, the anger of God deferred but remains upon unbelieving sinners, unreconciled to God, cut off from God, separated from God as a result of their iniquity. But there is a way back to God from sin's dark path. There is a way back to God, away from that anger, that displeasure of God. There is a way to be reconciled to God, and God has appointed that way. God has made it known. God causes it to be proclaimed in all the world. Yes, even to the wicked and reprobate, even to those who will not believe. For they too must be instructed, even the wicked must hear these things, so that when God brings them to account, they will be covered in absolute and utter shame, but declared in all the world, that men and women might hear, believe, repent and believe the gospel and be saved and know the loving kindness of the Lord, which is better than life. Might know the salvation of God, peace with God, joy everlasting, hope that does not disappoint, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. These belong to the children of God. These belong to those reconciled to God. He came to His own, but His own received them not. They rejected Him. But to them that received Him, who believed in His name, He gave the power, the right, the authority, that is, to become children of God. And these blessings, these almighty blessings belong, these comforts and consolations. salvation, the refuge, the consolation of God belongs to the children of God, to those born again, born of God's Spirit, to those born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. These belong to the children of God, those born again, those who have repented of their sin, turned from it, forsaken it, those who have believed on Jesus Christ, these belong to children of God. So which are you? A child of God or a child of wrath? Deferred anger of God. Rest, it's there, it remains, it's coming. Unless that is Jesus Christ removes it from off you. Unless He takes away your sin will take you away to a place you do not, believe me, you do not want to go. Fear, tremble at it. Turn to God. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. The promise of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved from sin's penalty. Wages are still sin. Save. Wages are still death. Wages of sin is death. Save from the power of sin that holds you in its grip and won't let you go unless Jesus sets you free. And you can shake your head, sir, till the cows come home. That will not alter the truth one little bit. So I urge you, friends, urge you, what if God is offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you? Yours take and do with as you will. Read for yourself. See that these things are so in accordance with God's Word. You would like a copy, you come and ask for one. But do remember, won't you, the words of Jesus. First words of Jesus recorded in Mark's Gospel. Repent ye and believe the Gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why. Repent ye and believe the Gospel, Nottingham. Repent ye and believe the Gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like a copy of God's Word? You come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, precious souls.